This is the March 27th meeting, 2024 of the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments. Roll call, please.
Chair Lewis.
Present.
Vice Chair Bovis.
Here.
Member Santos.
Here.
Member Siebert.
Here.
Member Spalding.
Here.
We all stand for the have no announcements at this time. Nothing on the consent calendar, nothing on tobacco retailers. So we'll go right into neighborhood preservation and let me read this. These are the administrative hearings for the neighborhood preservation and Alameda County zoning ordinance. Items on today's agenda have been scheduled because the owner has not complied with a notice to abate a nuisance. As the enforcement body, we will hear and consider all relevant evidence, objections, or protests, and receive testimony as to the means of abating the alleged nuisance. For the board to find that a nuisance has been abated, the owner must show proof that the nuisance has been rehabilitated, repaired, removed, or demolished. If you cannot show proof of abatement, then we may find that a public nuisance does exist on the property and that there is sufficient cause to abate the nuisance. This board will then issue an order specifying the nature of the nuisance and the method of abatement. The abatement work must commence and completed in not less than 10 or more than 60 days. The board's order will reference your right to appeal our decision. You will have 10 days from the date of service of the order to appeal to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors. A copy of the finding and the order will be served on all owners of the property in the same manner that the notice of this hearing was given. In addition, a copy of the finding and order will be posted on or near the property. All fines imposed by the board may be reduced or waived upon the determination of hardship or special circumstances. Can we have the first one, please?
It'll just be a moment. Okay, we have Michael Peters here to present the first item on the neighborhood preservation and zoning ordinance abatement hearings.
Afternoon, board members. Is this on? Afternoon, board members. My name is Michael Peters. I'm a zoning investigator with Alameda County. And agenda item number one is in reference to Fairview Avenue, Hayward, California, 94546, APN number 85A-6100-05-03. Regards to the property located on Fairview. This is in violation of Alameda County Zoning Ordinance 17.06. Utilizing the property for a storage of a contractor's trailer on an agriculturally zoned district without an administrative conditional use permit. The pertinent facts are as follows. On 4/25/2023, I conducted a site visit to confirm the violation of storing a contractor's trailer on the property without an administrative conditional use permit. On April 28th, 2023, I prepared a zoning violation letter to be sent to the mailing address by regular mail. The parcel was vacant. On May 16th, 2023, I received an email forwarded to me regarding the property owner trying to obtain an administrative conditional use permit through the planning department. On August 7th of 2023, I conducted a site visit and the violation was still present. I checked with the planning department and the property owner hadn't submitted an application. On October 25th, 2023, I conducted a site visit and the violation was still present. On October 31st, 2023, I prepared a notice of failed reinspection, fines and fees letter and mailed it by regular and certified mail to the mailing address. On November 8th of 2023, I received a voicemail from the property owner regarding the incorrect fine amount on the fines and fees letter that was sent in error. On November 8th, I prepared an amended fines and fees letter and it was sent to the property owner to the property owner's mailing address with the correct amount. On November 17th, we received an appeal letter from the property owner. On December 13th, 2023, the West County Board of Zoning Adjustment hearing was held. The board continued the item to the first meeting in March. On March 26, 2024, I conducted a reinspection of the site and there was a person working on the trailer. He stated he was replacing the wheels so that it can be removed from the property. On today, March 27, 2024, I conducted a reinspection and the trailer is still present. Previous violations, no. Contact with the property owner, yes. The property is vacant. Staff recommendation is to deny the appeal and declare the property in violation of Alameda County Zoning Ordinance, therefore a public nuisance, and require the abatement to be completed within 10 days and or commence assessing fines and fees. That concludes my staff report. I'll take any questions if you have them.
Questions of staff from the board?
Actually, we have a slide presentation for the exhibits.
Good.
I don't have that in front of me. Okay, that's April 25th is the trailer there on 2023. And August 7th of 2023, another reinspection and the trailer was there. Just another angle on August 7th of 2023. October 25th of 2023, I did another reinspection and the trailer was there. December 11th, 2023, another inspection and the trailer was still present. Yesterday on March 26, 2024, the trailer was still present. You can see the individual working on it there on the right-hand side towards the bottom of that that photograph there. And today on March 27, 2024, the trailer is still present. Nobody was near the trailer when I was there. And I'll take any questions if you have them.
The section that is violation, it's 17.06, but there's some other numbers after.
That's the ordinance, or that's the that's the ordinance
chapter.
Yeah, that's the chapter, and that covers everything that has to do with ag properties. So it tells what's allowed and what's not allowed, and what permits are needed and what, you know, so whether it's an
AC. Is it 0.030 under permitted uses? Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Other questions of staff at this time?
So you showed a picture of the owner working on the trailer, and it looks like it's been painted and kind of upgraded a little bit. So is it possible? I can't remember. I know that it can't have wheels on it or something. Was that the problem? It has to be a permanent structure, if I remember right. So, I mean, can he do anything to this trailer without hauling it away and putting a new shed in its place? So whatever he's doing there, will that theoretically fix the compliance issue?
No, I wasn't at the last meeting in December, December 13th, I think it was. But my supervisor was. The shed is just not available. It's not, you can't have it at the property, whether it has wheels or not. The person in the picture there is not the property owner that I spoke to yesterday. I guess he's working for the property owner for putting, you know, to put the wheels on it so they can remove it from the property. That's what he stated. Not sure if the property owner is here.
But they're putting wheels on it in order to remove it from.
He is here, so he could probably elaborate on that.
So, I mean, and has the property owner met with staff since December trying to work this out, or has this just been sitting there in limbo for 3 months until we have it come before us again?
I haven't spoken to the property owner. Her records indicate any application for a building permit.
On an agricultural property, I'm looking at this, I'm kind of glad I don't, but there are no there's no compromise we can do because the guy's using it for storage on his property. It's either our way or the highway, kind of get rid of it and put a structure there that we deem
it's administrative. That's the
okay, so
I think we have the property owner here, and I think we can ask those questions of him, and he can straighten this out for us. So and no more questions of staff. I'm going to call the property owner up. Sorry.
My one point of clarification is that the property owner needs.
Yes, that's correct.
In order, whether or not it has wheels, no matter what kind of condition it's in. I mean, it's not broken down and broken windows.
Yeah, I'm not a planner as to what conditions would be, applicable for.
Well,
that.
Let's say it's an appropriate, you know, and usable condition. Needs an
administrative conditional use permit would allow it for a temporary use. It's not a permanent fix. You have to have a permitted use on the property to have an accessory structure on the lot.
You have to have a building permit.
The property owner, please state your name.
Gary Parham. I've decided not to fight on the thing. I've already cleaned the trailer out. I'm getting it cleaned up to sell, and we're putting tires on it. So that is pretty much the done decision. And we went ahead and got a 40-foot sea container, which is double. Don't ask me what the difference is. But I think it's kind of ridiculous we have to go through this whole thing on 11 acres, for one thing. I mean, we've got tack storage in there. I've got tool storage in there, and I'm doing the same thing with the other container. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get rid of it, fixing it up as we speak. Got tires coming for it so it can be hauled out. So
I'll haul it out.
Just need to sell it. Yeah.
So
do you have a timetable
on selling it?
Getting it off the property.
Get it off the property without selling it. Where are you going to go with it? Yeah, you have to.
That will be up
to buy it, or I would have to junk it.
That part's up to you. What you do with it is get it
exactly.
Off,
yeah, I mean, I just think it's kind of feeble that we have to go through this whole thing. This is this one guy from Fremont who nobody knows who he is. He's somebody's minion in the neighborhood, doing the work of whatever they want done, and he has no basis to even be complaining about our neighborhood. First off, I mean, the guy's from Fremont. I don't know what's going on there, or who's dealing with him, or exactly who the person is that has this guy as a minion, but it's pretty ridiculous.
I on his own.
I don't think he is. sure I know who.
Oh, do we have any questions for the owner? He stated he's going to be removing it.
Yeah, you can give me 60 or 90 days or something.
That's the question. How much time?
Give me 90 days, that'd be fine. Give me time to sell it. We're just fixing it up right now, so it's worthy to sell.
Okay.
Tires.
So are you requesting that the fines be abated?
Surely appreciate that, yeah.
That based on what your memo is, it's just appealing the fines. Appealing the fines. That's what your memo does. It's just limited to the fines. You're not challenging.
There's no more fines unless I was to leave.
No, there's the finding itself plus the fines. So your appeal was only based on was written. Finding itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is a different issue. I didn't see.
Not sure.
He's going to be getting rid of it.
The whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
As far as I knew.
Yeah. The devil's in the details, as they say.
Yeah. So the details are, I'm fixing up to get rid of it, and I got a sea container instead because it looks a lot better.
So what do we think?
That's allowed.
Time wise.
Well, he's asked for 9. The question would be. I mean, what is our outside scope for abatement?
It was 60.
I have an outside scope for abatement.
I believe it's in the front of your packet when you read that. I think it's 60 days.
I think it's 60 days.
Oh,
or more.
Not less than 10 or more.
More than 60.
The abatement must. All right, so 60 days.
It's 2 months. Do you think that'll? Okay. All right.
Is that correct?
Council? It is 60 days.
Yeah. 60 days for abatement.
Oh, the fines. I'm willing, given the circumstances, that ship here.
It out.
Right, so that the hardship would justify a waiver of the fees. That would be my.
Excuse me, we do have a speaker on this matter if you're making a motion.
I was simply asking.
Excuse me.
Getting ahead of myself. Thank you. Okay. All right, so but we have a speaker and you still haven't closed.
Right. I think that's all we need from you. And if there's anyone else in the public that would like to speak on this, I'll invite them up. If not, you may sit down.
To me or?
No.
We're voted.
We have to close the public testimony. Yeah.
And then we're
going to vote afterwards.
And then we make a motion.
Yeah.
And then you find out. But first, we have a speaker on the line who is in the you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have someone on the line.
Yes, I have Kelly A. I'm going to allow you to speak. Kelly A, you can speak.
Hear me?
Right. Let's see. You should be able to hear me now, I hope.
Yes.
All right, finally. On this issue of these people outside Fairview, you know, there's something called the East Bay Regional Park District. And they actually, I think they litigated against this property because they had an easement on the property. I think, there were people walking and trespassing. They were accused of being trespassing. But actually, they're just trying to use that easement to get to the Bay Area Ridge Trail. And that's been going on for many years because that easement there was there for many years, but it wasn't being, being blocked off illegally. So now there's a settlement agreement where the property owner is going to pay like $1 million to help build that easement. So that's very good. I hope that easement gets built pretty soon so that the people outside Fairview, you know, from Oakland, Fremont, Cupertino, Sacramento, from anywhere, can go to Fairview, Five Canyons, and walk from Five Canyons over to the Barrier Ridge Trail. That's the most important thing that's happening on the property. Now, let's go back and let's talk about what else has been happening on the property. You know, we've heard so many stories about this property. Mr. Peters told us today this is a contractor's trailer, but we heard at the last hearing that this is an agricultural storage shed. We also heard that it's being used to store agricultural products. But if you look at the latest picture, you see that sliding glass door? It looks like a habitation now. It looks like a housing unit. So it's being upgraded to maybe it's housing. Maybe let's find out if the county would go along with turning that into like a housing unit, and then we can just let it stay there forever as housing, because the property is agricultural, and I think they're allowed to have one housing unit on the property. And then this idea of waiting 60 days, I would not make a decision on fines or whatever until the trailer is gone. We haven't seen the trailer move one inch yet, right? So maybe wait, 60 days, schedule another hearing in 61 days or whenever, and come back and see if the trailer actually goes before you make any decisions on anything. Because it's all speculation what happens in the future about moving the trailer. This idea that this is agricultural storage, it never was agricultural storage. And certainly it's not agricultural storage today. How are you going to get those bales of hay in there if there's no ramp? And are you going to get it through the sliding glass door? It's a little crazy. Just let's hope that the people from Fremont can use that easement to get to the Barrier Ridge Trail. Thanks.
Are there any other speakers? I'll close the public hearing.
Do not see any other hands raised.
Trail, where is? That is a condition of approval of the development, which is presently going in right now. And I can speak to that because my complaint is with Mr. Parham is that there's no access from Fairview for horses to go to the trail. So there's this gap, and that's the complaint. Within the neighborhood, you could say, for the horse access. So anyway, but the trail itself is a condition of approval for the development. So, right, that was one of the points that those of us in the neighborhood advocated, and the development was being proposed years ago, which subsequently went into bankruptcy.
Thanks for that point. Again, any other public to speak? If not, I close the public hearing. Now, what would we like to do?
So I would say make a motion. It sounds like there's no dispute over the violation itself. So therefore, it would be to affirm the appeal, but to allow for 60 days for abatement and waive fines and fees. Right. So that would be the two modifications would be the modification it's recommended is to deny the appeal, but to waive fines and fees and allow for 60 days for abatement.
He's going to abate it. Yeah.
Right. Given the circumstances that we have a large trailer that is not easily removed.
What is your motion? I have a second on that.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion by Member Spaulding and a second by Member Santos. Can I have?
By Vaughn.
I'm sorry. Oh. by Member Bogus. Okay, can I have the vote?
Chair Lewis.
Aye.
Vice Chair Vovas.
Aye.
Member Santos.
Yes.
Member Siebert.
Aye.
Member Spalding.
Aye.
Motion passes, 5 in favor, no objections.
Are you clear what just happened? Okay.
60 days.
60 days to get it moved out. And if you do that, the fines and fees.
Then we don't want to see you anymore.
The fines and fees will be waived. So stick to that 60 days and I think you'll be all right. Right?
Well, some of us, worse access.
I know.
Yeah, right.
Just show up at an East Bay Regional Park meeting then and complain.
Well, settled with the other, with the property owners, apparently. Silently. I'd like to know what those terms are.
All right, can we have the second one, please?
Yes, we have a second item on the neighborhood preservation and zoning ordinance abatement hearings. We have Code Enforcement Officer Terrence Jackson here to present.
Good afternoon, Board Members. Terrence Jackson, Alameda County Code Enforcement. We're here today on a continuance hearing for Mr. Robert Butzel, property address located at 504 Simon Street, Hayward, California, 94541, APN number 428-0041-03400. The violations are Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and Zoning Ordinance Sections 6.65.030A1 and AB, 17.52.70 and 17.52/30. The violations are, number one, unpermitted carport in the front of the property. Number two, fence height exceeding allowable height in the front of the property. Number three, accumulation of junk, trash, debris, and miscellaneous items in the rear of the property. Pertinent facts. On October 4th, 2023, site visitors confirmed the violation. October 4th, 2023, a declaration of public nuisance notice to abate mail to the property owner. On November 6th of 2023, site visit was conducted. Violation still remains. Property not in compliance. November 21st, 2023, notice of failed reinspection and final notice to abate and notice of administrative hearing mail certified and regular mail to property. December 12th, 2023, site visit with acting senior code enforcement officer Holly Felix. Minor progress had been made, but the violation remained. December 13th, 2023, site visit. Acting senior code enforcement officer Holly Felix met with property owner, the owner's agent, and advised confirmation of the hearing. On December 13, 2023, West Board of Zoning Adjustment hearing was held and continued to February 28, 2024. On February 14, 2024, site visits conducted to check progress. Access was denied by the property owner. I visited the property from the public right-of-way area by peering through the cyclone fence with slats. It appeared little to no progress had been made. February 15, 2024, continuance hearing notice was sent and sent regular and certified mail to the property owner. February 28, 2024, continuance hearing was held and an abatement order was issued. On February 29, 2024, abatement order was mailed and certified regular mail. I also posted a copy of the abatement order on the property. March 11, 2024, site visit was conducted to check the progress. Minor progress had been made, but the violations still remain. I met with the property owner who stated he was not properly served for the continuance hearing due to an error, incorrect first name on the letter for the February 28th hearing. Decisions made by code enforcement to return the item back to the West Board of Zoning Adjustments. On March 14, 2024, notice of hearing for March 27, 2024 was sent certified in regular mail. On, should be noted, on March 15th, 2024, I also posted the notice on the property. There are previous violations as of from February 3 of 2015, closed in compliance and abated by the owner. There's another couple of them. Another one for May 29th, 2018, closed in compliance and abated by the owner. And the last one was September 15, 2020, for inoperable vehicles, accumulation of junk, debris, and discarded items along with front fence exceeding allowable height and unpermitted accessory structure. Some progress was made, but case was administratively closed. Contact with property owner, yes. Was it vacant? No. Staff recommendations declare the property is in violation of the Alameda County Zoning Ordinance and therefore a public nuisance and require abatement to be completed within 10 days and or commence fines and fees. Oh, I'm sorry.
Have some slides for us?
Yes, we do have
some. Ask a question first?
Yes.
So at our last meeting, we voted to abate the property. So why is it here again? Because of the misstated name? Do we have to make the same motion and say, okay, let's send it to the proper authorities. Let's get it cleaned up. But let's send it to the correct name this time.
That is correct. That's what Mr. Busso was saying. He said, even though it was an incorrect first name, he wasn't properly served.
If that's the case, do we need a slide presentation since we already voted on this? Can we just make a motion that we, have staff go through the motions of the abatement and move on?
I think you have to determine whether or not what's the present condition.
I'd like to see what's happened since
present
we.
Present condition.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Well, that's my question is, has the trash been picked? It's like a health hazard.
Mr. Busso would pick up minor debris, but it wasn't enough to satisfy us to pass it.
Was it cleaning?
Right.
My only question is was the property owner present or appeared at the?
He was present at the first one. He was not present at the last one. So we gave him time to clean it up. He brought a lender in.
And, this is the lender.
And he had the money to fix it up, whatever. And then nothing was done. So it came back before us and we said, okay, we gave you your shot. Let's move on with the process.
I would only suggest county council might want to think about the waiver point since the property owner showed up for the hearing.
Well, we're here. Let's finish it. Yeah.
Well, we need to finish.
Should we go to the last inspection on March 25th?
That would be a good idea.
Okay,
what's the present condition?
March 25th.
Well, he's waiting.
We've been having some technical difficulties today.
Yeah,
so it's going to take a minute till we have the photos up. So I don't know if you want to go to members of the public and come back to the photos. The chair's discretion.
That would be fine.
We'll see the photos shortly. Right now, I'm going to open it up to any public comment on this issue. Did you fill out a card? Oh, okay.
You can come up, need to fill up a card. A card.
Yeah.
Can you please speak into the microphone?
My name is Tito DeGrandis, and I represent the lender that has a first position lien on the property. I asked for more time for Mr. Robert Busso for him to do what he needed to do.
You were here before.
I was here before.
Right.
And I told him, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it. Then he refused me. We lost all communication, but the problem now is we don't have any insurance on the property because of the condition, what's in there. The insurance company just, we don't have any insurance on the property. So whatever remedy you can do would be great.
So we need to expedite this matter. And
because there's hazardous materials on the property, and it's just a mess, and it's gotten worse.
So we need to make sure abatement is within 10 days. That would be the order. And otherwise, either that.
There's tenants there also. If the place caught on fire, there's no insurance or anything.
Right.
Homeowners insurance.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to get insurance on that property, especially in the condition that it's in.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Since you're the lender, do you have the purview to go in there and forcibly remove this material and take care of the abatement? Or
I offered,
because you said you've lost touch with the.
I offered to do it. He didn't want to agree to my fee and or our fees. And so I said, well, the county's probably going to charge you more than we are. So he said, well, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. So he wouldn't give me access to the property.
Any other questions of the gentleman? Okay, great. Thank you. Are there any other speakers wanting to address this issue?
Yeah, I have a hand raised. Kelly A., you can speak. Unmute yourself.
Stand for...
Thanks. Hopefully you can hear me. The just a couple of things. Yeah, on Google, on the, it does look like a junkyard. Now, if any of you actually go there and you stand there for about half an hour, what you'll hear is the trains on top of your head. Those trains are elevated bar trains. They're really loud. This is how the people live on the other side of the tracks. But this is not actually the other side of the tracks. This is underneath the tracks, the BART tracks. So I just want to, out there in Fairview or in West County, a lot of people don't understand how the other people live, and it's loud. It's really loud. Those trains, they're running till midnight or whatever, and they start running early in the morning, and they're loud. I used to live three blocks away and you could hear them, but when you're right underneath them, they're loud. To express a little sympathy for the people who have to live there. And then there is a junkyard in there. Now, a couple of things about the county's things what the county's saying about this property, where they said the fence is too tall. Well, if you're on Fairview Avenue in Fairview, and you build a new fence and it's too tall, you get an exemption right away. It'll be a little variance. And that's what happened in Fairview Avenue. Somebody built the fence. It was too tall right from the beginning. It's only about 2-3 years old. And they got that variance, no problem. So, if anybody wants to build a tall fence here and it's a nice fence and it's worthy of a variance, I think they should get a variance, just like the people on Fairview Avenue get variances. And likewise, notice how they're going into the backyard and enforcing all the bad things that are happening back here. But in Fairview, if people put about 20 cars in their backyard, literally 20 cars parked in the backyard, count them, two dozen so cars, Fairview Avenue, nothing happens. It's like a car collection is okay. Maybe they're all drivable cars, and there's a lot of exemptions here, but I'm not sure that any of this junkyard is going to fit in as an exemption. So it seems like I don't see too much hope for the junkyard that's there as far as legalizing it. But the fence, I think that we should be lenient on all the fences everywhere, just like they are in Fairview Avenue. Thanks.
Are there any more people to speak on this? If not, we'll go back to the presentation, hopefully.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, in the meantime, I can offer that I drove by yesterday, sat in front of it, and yeah, the He's right. The I can verify that there is minor progress in the front yard, but certainly nothing in the back. In fact, it looked like there was a more like abandoned vehicles on Western Avenue. I feel like are associated somehow with the.
Well, I think the fact house, that yeah. the insurance has been lost because of the condition is really bad. And all just as a point of clarification, there was no variance for that Fairview Avenue that was approved by the BZA. In fact, it had to go to the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, it did.
That's right. Oh, it was not granted by the BZA. Anyway, so I would say to make a motion, or no? Do we have to have that? And I don't think we have to have that in order.
Yeah. You don't have to have the photos. The ordinances, you just have to accept testimony to make a finding, and
right. And I think
we have the officer speaking.
Overwhelming testimony.
I think we're good
from
the I agree.
Mortgage holder, who's also been involved in attempting to clean it up, that it's gotten worse, and even this, we have the sympathetic, which has also identified this as a quote junkyard close quote. That is serious, and we have no insurance.
Well, the current picture you showed of the front yard, where the only improvement is current. And you could look at the old pictures, and it looks just like that. So I don't think we're missing anything.
No, we're not missing anything. So I would make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation and the property. Where in the staff report, you know, usually we have a section. Oh, it's out of order. Okay. Okay, sorry about that. Yeah. Thank you. To declare the property is in violation of the zoning ordinance and a public nuisance and require abatement to be completed within 10 days and commence fines and fees.
Second that.
A motion by Member Spaulding and this time a motion by Member Santos. So can I have a vote on that, please?
Chair Lewis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bovis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Member Spaulding?
Aye.
Motion passes 5 in favor.
Hopefully you can get a hold of Mr. Busso and get that cleared up.
Well, the sheriff, you have 10 days. So if nothing
days.
Happens in 10 days, the sheriff's office, I think you want to be in contact with the county staff on the enforcement.
On it, yeah.
Because after the 11th day, I gather, it's when their jurisdiction will pop in.
Be in contact with the county staff for the progress on that, sir. All right. Okay, so what do we have? Alcohol beverage. Next is open forum. This is when anybody from the public can speak on something that is not on the agenda. Do we have anyone who would like to speak?
If anybody would like agenda? If anybody would like to speak on something not on the agenda, please raise your electronic hand. Yes, I have one hand raised.
Okay.
Kelly A., I will allow you to speak.
All right.
Unmute yourself.
I think I unmuted myself. Yeah, thanks very much. Speaking of junkyards, there's one of the largest was out in Livermore, and I realize it's not in the West County, but just to let you know how these junkyards work, there are some out here in Fairview and in West County. So the what happens out there, kind of the same thing is happening everywhere. That thing has been there for a long time. And enforcement action started a year or two or three ago, and they even put a newspaper story in the local newspaper, a long story about how the county was cracking down on this. But of course, it's still out there, and the crackdown hasn't cracked down on anything. You know, it's not like 10 days or 60 days or whatever. It's it just sits there, and the county keeps they keep delaying things. But what's interesting out there, I talked to somebody who's lives in Livermore and is very well, you know, tied in to everything that happens in Livermore at the highest levels of Livermore. And they told me that they were not happy with having a junkyard out there right next to their city. And it was not good for their, not what they wanted to have out there. It's not something that, like, you know, people from Fremont come and tell them what to do. It's people in Livermore who are at the highest levels who don't like what's going on in the unincorporated county. They'd rather see things, you know, done the right way. Thanks.
We'll go on. We have no field trip report, and we'll go right into the regular calendar. If I could have the first item, please.
Okay, we have the staff planner, Aubrey Rose, here to present the first item on the regular calendar.
Aubrey Rose, Alameda County Planning Department. Good afternoon. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen.
It'll just be a moment.
See, why not? Yeah.
So the application is to allow 5,950 square foot one story rear addition to a 12,000 square foot one story commercial building. Is the 13 foot 6 inches in ceiling height where 15 foot minimum required, is that in the new section or the old section?
15 minimum is required under the Ashland Cherryland Business District specific plan. So their new part is only 13 and a half.
So it's a new part that they're asking for this variance.
Correct.
Okay. Not the old part, which is what I was trying to figure out. And that for the same thing for the 25 foot minimum is required for a building rooftop? The old part of the building, or is that the new part of the building?
Can you repeat the question, please?
It's under the proposal section.
Right, we were multitasking, so I didn't hear your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. The under the proposal, it's asking for a variance where 25 foot minimum is required for building rooftop. And so my question is, again, is that the new part or the old part?
For the new part. The new part.
Okay. And so, and then it says maintaining a non-conforming 8 foot 2 inch East Street side setback where 0 foot maximum is required.
Is the existing building is located 8 feet 2 inches from the street, the side street, Angus Way, I believe. Back in the day that was acceptable, but under the Ashland Cherryland Business District specific plan, they want 0 foot setback. They want access to encourage pedestrian access.
Right. So, but why, I guess my question is, if you are less than the zero because you're further back, why would you need a variance? Wouldn't you only need it? You usually only need it variance if you're expanding
exceeding.
Or exceeding.
Yeah.
because a requirement is requiring that the building to be at 0 feet and they want to push it back.
I understand that, but usually you have the discretion within the footprint. That defines what the footprint is. Would agree, 0 foot would be part of your footprint, so to speak. So if you're within the footprint, why would you need a variance? That's my question.
Because we want to encourage the buildings to be close to the street and to have a 0 foot setback so it looks pretty and people walk and access the commercial frontages along normally Mission, East 14th Street.
It seems it's how the general plan is constructed, where what you're saying is what normally how it's written,
right.
But this general plan is not written that way. It is written to require enforcement of no setback.
Okay.
So that's where it comes in, because it's written that way.
Okay. All right. So we're not losing our minds.
No, like generally you're right. Like, you know, there's
generally one would be, if you're within the footprint, you should be fine. You don't need a variance.
The way this one is written is there's no wiggle room. Right. It's zero. Yeah.
Right. It's okay. Thank you. That was my question.
Can you go ahead, Aubrey?
So this is PLN 2023-00146 at 1050 Maddox Road. Proposals to renovate the 2.67 acre site, which contains a 12,631 square foot one-story commercial building. And the project features a 5,950 square foot one-story rear addition to the building. Application was submitted on October 16th last year. The proposal requires a SDR site development review because it features the addition of more than 1,000 square feet in floor area and two variances. The first is to allow a ceiling height at 13 feet 6 inches, where a minimum of 15 feet is required for ground floor and 25 feet minimum for building rooftop. And the second is to maintain, as we discussed, the non-conforming 8 foot 2 inch sidewalk, where a 0 foot maximum is required. Property owners, Carpenters and Joiners Union. Applicant Pete Austin, I believe, is with us online today. Locations in Ashland. The zoning is ACBD, DMU, Ashland and Cherryland Business District Specific Plan District Mixed Use. The proposal is exempt from CEQA and environmental review as an existing facility. And just in terms of process, the site development review is decided by the planning director. That decision's pending. The two variances are decided by the board. So here's the location in Ashland along Maddox, east or uphill from Mission. It's across the street from Cherryland. Coming into the site, you can see it's a large level site with a one-story building and a large a parking lot, which is larger at the rear. On Mission is recently a site where a large building was recently demolished, and it's going to be replaced by a park by the HARD Recreational District. Cross Angus Way is residential neighborhood. So here's some site photos. You can see upper left is the front of the building from the front lot. Sides, the right, upper and lower. And lower left is the rear of the building seen from the larger rear parking lot. So it's a U-shaped building presently with a large meeting hall on the right street side. Architectural rendition of what's being proposed. So it'd be a modernization of the existing building as well as the large rear addition that would enclose the your courtyard out of the U-shape.
What
perspective?
This is from the corner of Maddox and Angus. So this would be facing west. Yeah.
Jen?
From Maddox at Angus. So this is uphill from Mission.
To have any renditions, Mission would look Mission.
We don't have that. Going forward, here's a bird's eye view of what's proposed. The courtyard becomes enclosed. The plan, existing left, proposed on the right. Also for the elevations, the front, you can see it will have a modernization and some different roof pitches, materials, opens up the front of the building, makes it more inviting with some increased glazing. Right side along the street, there that's requiring the variances. A left interior side, the drive aisle connecting the parking lots. This is viewed from that location. The proposed elevation at the rear, enclosing the courtyard. Landscape plan. So there's no major changes to the parking lots. There would be a preservation of the existing trees and some new installation of landscaping as shown here. And just to talk a little bit about the variances, most of the properties in the DMU district mixed use run along East 14th Street or Mission. And so that's where the zero lot line requirement would be more appropriate. So there's two factors to consider with the variance. One is the location, the unusual location of the DMU property, and also the non-conforming existing built conditions. So the February 13th, the Eden area MAC hearing, the Eden MAC voted unanimously 5-0 to recommend approval of the site development review to the planning director and of the variances to the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments. Respondents, two letters were received from a residential neighbor prior to the Eden MAC with some concerns regarding parking, drainage, circulation. In conclusion, staff recommends that the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments approve the two variances at 1050 Maddox Road. And again, the applicant, I believe, is with us online to answer any questions you may have for them. Staff's available as well. Thank you.
It's for staff. Go ahead.
So how many parking spaces are going to be on the property? And is there like a, is there a number based on the size of the building that, that should be there? I mean, is it X should be there based on a, on a building of this size, and why is the actual number?
It's really difficult to read the parking calculation on 1.10. Actually, the whole set's really hard to read any of it. Right.
There are currently 209 spaces where 32 are required. The proposal would result in 191 spaces where 47 spaces would be required for the enlarged building.
Cool. So the neighbor's concern about parking is more than covered in the plans. Secondly, it mentioned drainage on the property. I didn't see like a drainage plan. Is there, how's the run? This is a large paved area. How's the runoff going to be controlled? And theoretically, it could overtax the wastewater treatment plants if there's too much runoff from something like this. No, berm, chambers, permeable, anything listed on there?
So the drainage would be handled at the building permit stage as memorialized in the Public Works Agency memo to the project.
Those agencies would take care of making sure that's within the...
To me, that's putting the... That's a little late to the process. That should be in the plans to handle something like that. It normally is in large commercial jobs. So that's... And staff even makes a note that there's a concern about drainage. So that's why I was asking if there's some mediation of the drainage on this project in the plans.
So that... Ultimately.
Usually handled in the SDR.
The drainage, it depends. Yeah. It depends if additional impervious surface is being added or replaced, which isn't the case. The existing legal parking lot's not being renovated.
But when this was originally built, these weren't issues that were taken up at that point in time. So now modernizing the building, it seems that it would be a point in time where you'd want to address issues like that. I mean, this is a modern...
Modernized drainage, modernized
issue.
Building.
This is a modern concern in new construction or upgrading buildings.
Or retain. That's as we know.
The architect will be speaking to this, so maybe we can ask him a question.
Wait.
The current rules, laws, whatever the project is releasing, the runoff of the water releasing currently with the addition, they can't allow any additional runoff to be released. So it is regulated under Public Works, and it will have to, I mean, it's a state law. It has to be met, period.
I wanted to go over the, just review the existing conditions regarding the variances we have here at hand. So so the 8'2" is an existing condition, right?
Correct.
The 13-foot ceiling, where 15-foot is required for ground floor ceiling. Existing condition or new condition?
New.
That's what I want to know, why you can't meet it if it's new.
Because they're trying to make it.
I think it, to make it match with the other building.
The renovation of the large meeting hall room you see on the right hand of the slide would be increased from its existing non-conforming height, but it would still be non-conforming to the current code under the specific plan.
There isn't a structural reason or anything like that other than an aesthetic one?
Other than for aesthetic purposes, if there are additional reasons, I'd ask the architect to speak to that in a moment.
All right, I'd want to know if there's like a structural issue or what. Why would you need to do that? And the 25-foot minimum required for building rooftop. New condition? Or existing condition?
All new.
Okay, so in here we've got three things, and one of them is existing, which is the 8'2". Okay, I just want to make sure I'm... It is really confusing. I had the same question.
Yeah.
I want to just make sure I understand that. Okay. That's all I have. So I think on page 3, you'll see that the way that the report's written, that these things I just asked about are listed under the site's existing built conditions. the top of page 3. It contains these things. And then that lists those things I just asked about as existing.
Although we don't.
Right. That's where it made it confusing, is that those items I just asked about are listed under existing as-built conditions. Anyway, so if anybody sees that on the report, it's all I have for now until maybe the architect comes up.
Any other question?
Not at this time.
All right, so if we could have the applicant speak.
Pete Austin, if you're on the line, we would like to hear from you. I can allow you to speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry. Excuse my voice. I lost my voice, so I'll try to be as clear as possible. So addressing the height, there is a structural implication to the height. We're using wood construction. Because this is a carpentry building, those trades would be enlisted to do the work. There are some structural span limitations to that type of wood construction. So going any higher would be a structural gymnastics job. So we've sort of maxed out the structural limitations of that product, that kind of structural system. And then in terms of the height of the roof, the structural system that we're using is a CLT system, which doesn't grant like a taller roof. It's a thin product that is used for construction efficiencies. Another is aesthetic reason. So those are the two reasons where, for the height variances. And then
Can you tell me what CLT means?
Cross-laminated timber. Yeah, it's cross-laminated timber. It's an environmentally friendly method of construction by using small pieces of lumber that are either recycled or from harvested, intentionally harvested trees that are glued together and pre-engineered. It prevents the cutting down of large trees for timber.
You make glue laminated beams out of them or trusses?
It's similar to a glue lam, but it's a stronger product. They're glued together in perpendicular orientations. So they'll glue one layer going one direction, then turn it 90 degrees and glue the next layer down. In a similar process as a glue lam beam.
Okay, thank you. I guess I wanted to know what maybe staff has. Is there a section through any of the buildings so we can kind of see how that all works?
I don't know if we provided a section in the SDR set.
Just like to tell the architect that the carpenters can use steel studs, since I came from that industry. And with a steel stud, you can get much greater heights. In fact, in modern construction, in the atriums of new commercial buildings, those are all framed with steel installed by Bay Area Union carpenters. Just had to get that off my soapbox here.
Gotcha. Thank you for that information.
Right. My question.
I know they are very happy to install stud steels, but we will be using steel studs for the rest of the building. But the atrium is a column-based system to promote the transparency. Kind of give it a nice streetscape. When you're looking in, you can kind of see through the building a bit into the courtyard. Well, but I agree, you can go tall with steel studs.
Yeah, specify SCAFCO steel studs in that building. It's a former company of mine, best steel studs in the business.
All right.
Okay, that answered my other sorry, question was that there I'm sure there's going to be steel here. Used somewhere.
Let's not insert
yeah.
Yeah.
There will
so
be
there
metal
will be
somewhere in the
steel frame there will be steel stud framing
okay.
on the like the partition walls and
yeah.
so forth
yeah,
just
exactly.
not
yep
not
exactly.
tube steel or something in the but if you're going glue laminated or then I understand what you're doing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm sure for appearance you're trying to achieve a certain look.
Yeah, correct.
Go ahead, Member Smalley.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions. Just for instance, on the architectural rendition of the bird's eye, I don't know if you can see, can you see that, what we're looking at right now?
I'm very familiar with it, so go ahead and describe.
Okay, well, it doesn't identify what streets, what how we're looking at this. Now,
yeah.
I would think based on the location of the parking lot that the where it says MN on top of the building or marking, that's Maddox. And on the side where it says M10, that would be Mission.
No.
Oh,
Angus.
M10 would be Maddox.
Right.
M9 would be Angus.
Right.
And
M6 is Mission.
This is
Maddox.
M6
yeah.
is supposed to be Mission.
Right.
But the property does not go to Mission because the part HARD has the corner parcel, which they're developing into a park. So Mission is not, you can see right there.
It doesn't go totally to Mission. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Right. But because, and so the entryway is going to be off of
Maddox
or Angus.
I think the driveway is on Angus.
I don't think it look like there's an access way on Maddox at all.
Where is the access?
That's one of my questions.
The front door.
If you look at the site plans, the entry into the site through vehicular traffic is on Angus. The front entry faces Maddox.
Okay,
there's no access from Maddox.
No, correct.
Driveway entrance is on Angus.
It's on Angus. But the front is looking towards Maddox. You're not repaving the parking lot, and the landscape is only defined as quote preliminary. Which concerns me. That means nothing.
So
all the way.
Can you guys still hear me? I'm unsure if you guys can still hear me. Okay. So preliminary is until SDR approves it, because that's everything is technically preliminary until we get approval. So
I think
that
propose means
sure.
that we're gonna do it if you agree to it.
Preliminary
sure. means this is what we're thinking about.
Sure.
Not
I can,
necessarily
we can,
committing.
Yeah. Well, we're committed if we get approval. So I guess it would be more proposed. It would be better nomenclature. And then the parking lot will be sealed and restriped, but it's not going to be ground and demolished. It'll appear fresh and new, but we won't be disturbing the. We won't be grinding down on the site.
So as far as
the asphalt.
And the landscape, as far as the landscape goes, there doesn't seem to be much additional landscaping at all. Where's the landscaping?
We're landscaping the courtyard. We're landscaping in the courtyard.
Inside the building.
Around
the
immediate.
The courtyard is inside. I'm talking outside.
Yeah. We're landscaping up against the building. We're not landscaping out onto the site.
Okay, or around the perimeter or the parking lot or anything else like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of existing vegetation and there's some trees, so we were intending on reusing that landscaping on the Maddox side. And then there'll be new landscaping between our building and Angus Way. and then the rest is drive aisles, driving in and out.
Are you going to refurbish the existing parking lot lightings, or are they going to be new?
That was discussed in our last meeting. I think it's going to come down to planning. We haven't gone that far yet. Whether or not that's required.
Well, I doubt that they're, you know, LED heads or something of newer technology, if they're the originals.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Is there any site lighting out on the Maddox side of the building at the front? I don't think there's any. You just have two poles in the back lot.
Parking lot. There's one in the front as well. And then we're adding lighting against the building.
You're saying there's a pole light in the front? At the front of the building?
Yeah, there's a light on the front. It's at the end of the parking lot. Oh, really close to Maddox. It's like right on the bend.
You have anything to add, sir? Point.
Want to stay tuned because I'm sure we'll have additional questions. But there are...
If not, I think there's other people that want to speak on this. So I'm going to call up. Are there anyone else who would like to speak to this issue? Either online or in our audience?
I do have an electronic hand raised.
Right.
Kelly A., I'm going to allow you to speak. Well, you can unmute yourself.
All right, there it goes. I just want to thank the carpenters for pumping money into this neighborhood and doing some new construction and improving the neighborhood a little bit. It's wonderful stuff that they're doing. At least it looks like nice stuff. But before anybody points fingers at them and complains about their old junky parking lot and their lousy drainage and all that, I think you should look at that. Take a look at Angus Way. You know that the only part of Angus Way that has a sidewalk is right next to the carpenters. So they got a sidewalk to help people, you know, ADA, whatever, walk up and down the road. On the other side, there's nothing. There's no sidewalk on the other side. Then you talk about the lousy drainage, right? On Angus Way. Yeah, it's very bad drainage. I'm looking at a whole lake over there. But did you know that nowhere on Angus Way, which is a public street that's operated by your public works department, nowhere there's any drainage? The whole street has no drainage. In fact, the street has potholes in it near the driveway into the carpenters. And there's cracks and potholes everywhere. And Maddox is almost as bad. It's pretty bad down there. It's cracked. It does have drainage on Maddox, but there's still a lot of cracking going on. So if you were going to upgrade the parking lot, you'd put in, you know, those drainage things where you have like plants at Costco and let the water drain in and not drain off site and not have, a whole... a lake of impervious surface draining into the street or whatever, but that would be the thing to do. And I don't know if that's really feasible for the Carpenters Union to do. But before we get to that, I really want for people to look in the mirror, Alameda County Public Works Agency, look at this road, look at the drainage, look at your sidewalks, look at those potholes, look at all those cracks, and fix them, do something, you know, take responsibility for your lousy work. And I would get off, please stop with the pointing the fingers at the Carpenters Union and take care of your own side of the street. Carpenter Union is already doing quite a lot of stuff to help this neighborhood be a better place. Thanks.
Anyone else that would like to address us on this? Don't be afraid. No. State your name.
My name is Izra Avila, and I'm a carpenter at Local 713. I just want to speak about the drainage. The drainage is not, it's on the street side, right? It doesn't, not on our parking lot, on the street side. I also want to touch base on the CLT, right? The evolution of product, right? The carpenter is always trying to be one step ahead. We like to say we're the master craft, right? So I always want to, this CLT is going to showcase the new product carpenter's coming out with, right? So I think it put a nice twist to our hall. That's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you very much. If there's no more public to speak, I'll close the public hearing.
Well, I would simply note Public Works is not
here. Folks who have an issue with Public Works are invited, I think, to call Public Works and talk to them. And I know there's a app that if you take a picture of it or something, they'll come and fix the road. So in Castro Valley, they've been pretty good, I must say. Yeah.
Well, Fairview, they have been very slow. But my question is going back to the building. Normally, most jurisdictions, building department falls within the planning, not the public. Unfortunately, and so I think.
Can I just remind to speak directly into the microphone, especially because the applicant is online. Thank you.
So unfortunately, we're the exception, and
even closer.
And we are the exception. So that makes our situation more difficult because I think it's easier if the building department was part of the planning department, and some of us have advocated that for several decades now. That is my issue. And also on the landscaping, such as along Maddox, what you're looking at along Maddox, because right now it's not very attractive and it looks like an abandoned building. And so I would like to see more landscaping. And I'd also like to know what Public Works is going to be requiring for this storm water runoff and maybe how that can be coordinated with better landscaping. So you have a combination of them both, an improvement there. And I mean, I'm glad that the Carpenters Union is planning to do something with this property. Yay, that is good news. And to improve it, that's good news. So we just want to make sure though that it's going to cover everything and it's going to be an overall better project. And so people aren't going to drive by and say, why is there not even a tree? So, cause that can happen. And I think the public's right in making that comment because we do need, in that area, particularly, we do need more trees, more landscaping, and with climate change, that's going to be even more important to have that. And I think the carpenters are going to like it too, because that means shade in the summer and an improvement, unless they're planning to put in solar and cover their parking lot with solar. There's that option, but I'm not hearing any discussion of that right now or on the building. So I just think that there's some questions out there, and that's what I would like to see is what's the building department going to require for the storm drainage and how that can be incorporated into a better landscaping plan. So
that's, I agree, but that's not what we're looking at today.
That's in order to determine though, our overall point of allowing this
new building.
Wouldn't
that come out of the SDR that the planning director's looking at?
In the resolution, that the draft resolution for today's meeting, the conditions include what Public Works provided referral comments. They were included as condition of approval number 23. And also in your packet, there is a preliminary grading and drainage plan on sheet C.4.
Some of us are having problems finding that.
Well, did you find it on this page?
Sheet four.
That addresses the collected runoff from the building, parking lot, and impervious surface areas.
It's also important.
Clear how the collected runoff from the building, this is under C, right, will be discharged off-site. That's like part of the conditions of approval, acknowledging it's not complete.
Right, but then they are subject to meeting the requirements under E.
And then Kurt.
Right. And then also, what does this provide a stormwater protection design solution, which will conform to the current version as published? That's not. Error. And then also, I mean, that could relate to maintaining a non-conforming 8-foot 2-inch east street side setback also. Justification.
This side of getting drainage implementation plans have been the director of Public Works.
That means nobody else will see. Right.
Enzo and the director. Dean, is there anything mentioned in the conditions about photovoltaics or anything like that?
There is not.
Maybe we could, when the public.
Like that?
That maybe the architect can tell us if there's.
Okay.
I mean, if we. It's the shortest time we could continue, minimal time we could continue it. The architect would adequate time to push that out.
I think the problem is that's not what we're really looking at here.
But it is in a sense because we're looking at also maintaining a non-conforming 8-foot 2-inch east side street setback where zero is required. The things we're talking about. And if that relates to that, that's a direct relation.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but under our ordinance code in zoning of the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments, you approving variances. If you look at the resolution towards the bottom, it says variances. There's three things that the West BZA is supposed to find to grant or deny a variance. And that is the purview of this board. So here they're labeled A, and you flip the page kind of down the bottom, there's B and C. So
In order to grant a variance, the board must find that there are special circumstances, including size, shape, topography, location, or surroundings applicable to the property, which deprive the property of privileges enjoyed by other property in the vicinity under the identical zoning classification.
That's right. And that's what I'm talking about, is the 8-foot setback, because the requirement is a 0 right now. But what it's asking for us to do is to approve a variance, saying there are special circumstances, including shape, topography, location, and surrounding applicable to the property. That's exactly what this is about. And the landscaping, how that relates in the drainage. So if there's drainage and additional landscaping that's necessary, that helps justify or explains that there are special circumstances. Those are the special circumstances. Because right now, I don't think anything.
Wouldn't drainage be better having more setback than right on the curb?
I agree. But the point is we do the variance. This is a flip situation. The requirement is 0 setback.
There is a Google image of the current conditions at the corner of Maddox and Angus. And the speaker also mentioned the concerns about the drainage are along Angus. And based on just cruising through Google Earth, it looks like his comment matches up that there are concerns. I mean, this street, all this runoff along the opposite side, the Carpenter Union is on our left, and this is a lot of runoff to your right, and it continues to go down to Angus. With right, lack of drainage for the public street, it's not lack of drainage on the current subject parcel.
Well, there's water pooling on the parcel too, based on the earlier right there.
Is that a driveway entrance, perhaps?
Yeah.
We don't know it's underwater based on that photo.
It is based on coming the other direction.
Another point I'd like to remind the board is the board approval of variances and conditional use permits are subject to a reasonableness appeal. And so in this property, correct me if I'm wrong, but this 8-foot setback existed before the general plan was put in place. So it's quite reasonable to approve it based on that alone.
They're just trying to make it match.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I'm saying if it was denied with extra requirements my argument is it would be unreasonable.
But I think the point is no one's proposing to deny it. I think the discussion is whether or not to continue it to complete, so we have a complete and adequate information. That's the point. And what is going to be done to address those issues? That's the issue. It's an adequacy issue, not, if you deny it. There's not a proposal to deny it. The proposal is whether or not there a short continuance, can the architect provide these answers where we've seen and obviously overlap and are related to each other. Established by the Google Earth photos.
I would just caution the board to consider if additional information is necessary to make the 3 findings. If you feel additional information is necessary, then it is completely in your purview to continue. But if you feel that you have enough information today to find the 3 justifications that are necessary to grant a variance, then it can be heard today and there's no need for a continuance.
I guess the question is, does the board feel we have enough information to go ahead? Or is there more information that is needed specifically to drainage issues?
Landscaping.
Landscaping.
parking lot. Not very attractive.
I would say we're not being asked to do that today. As council just said, we're being asked to look at proposals or variances A, B, and C. And in regards to those questions have been answered. This is going in for a site review. So if there's any other issues going forward, I'm sure it may come before us again, or it's going to go to staff again. So based on that, I would make a motion that we take staff's recommendation of the approval for the variances on PLN 20230146 based on the drawings marked Exhibit B on file with the Alameda County Planning Department and the conditions of approval below, making sure that Exhibit A, Exhibit B, and Exhibit C are taken care of.
I've got a motion. Do I have a second?
To your point, I agree that those things need to be addressed, but I'm afraid that they won't be addressed until it works its way further into engineering at the later SDR. Stage and the SDR. Those things combined would get the answers, but we'd have to grant them that in order to get them to that point. So for that reason, I will second the motion.
I have a motion from Member Santos, a second from Member Bovis. Can I have the question, please?
Chair Lewis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bovis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Abstain.
Motion passes 4 in favor, 1 abstention.
That, the abstention's based on inadequate. My opinion, I don't think we have adequate information, but that's fine.
Okay, next, we have approval of minutes. Has everyone had the chance to take a look at the minutes from the February 28th meeting? If there's any additions or corrections. On your
I just noted on page 2, towards the bottom of the page, last paragraph, maybe you could help me with this, Jewel.
Where are you again?
Page two, last. Middle of the last paragraph, you're talking to U.S. City Council.
Member Spalding said his letter.
That his letter fails to identify any support for that argument. Mr. Pinza said the argument is in the context of the rest of it. If differentiate residential and commercial, like, what do you think that's it just doesn't sound right. Like,
no, if yeah. Differentiate residential and one, and then specifically,
remember,
if you differentiate.
Of it, if is
there is a different,
if there's something missing in that sentence.
Oh, said the argument,
right?
Argument context.
Well,
rest of it, if
so, or if you're entering residence, or how about take out if. And differentiate is residential differs from commercial in one section. Commercial in one section. Is that kind of make more sense? County Council was also part of this discussion.
It would be Mr. Pinza said the argument is in the context of the rest of it. If. Different than differs also, from
it also says Mr. Pinza said the term residential is different from than residence.
doesn't make any sense. All right. See that little, this little.
I concur, but that is what he said. That is what he said. Correct.
Maybe we should put it in quotes.
That would be an appropriate amendment, I feel. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Because that infers then that.
Yeah, well, that was his legal
and
argument.
And it's not a summary from the secretary.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Secretary didn't summarize it.
That.
Well, yeah, I think you sort of get the gist what he's trying to say. Yeah.
Residential is different than. In the same handicap are two different things.
He may have said that.
He also said that.
So, so maybe we should go put that in quotes too. A quote, disabled and handicaps are two different things, close quote.
Or any other? Okay. Else on the minutes from that last meeting? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept as stated.
Make that motion to accept the draft minutes of February 28th, 2024 as submitted with the
modifications
to add quotes to last paragraph, last line. Mr. Pinza said, quote, disabled and handicap are two different things, quote. Other one was
residents and residential are different.
Residential, differentiate residential and commercial.
Well, the term, quote, so insert quote residential is different than residence, comma, close quote. That's last paragraph, page two. Then you get to the sentence that we started off the discussion with. The argument is context. Rest of it. I mean, I would, if it doesn't make sense, my tendency, my thought is why have it there if it's nonsensical and maybe like it.
Well, he sort of was rambling on, if I remember correctly. So he may have said all that.
Correct. Those were his legal arguments as to why.
Well, then maybe just following the word Mr. Pinza said.
Yeah.
That way.
Just leave it at that.
Quotes what he said.
Said.
The argument is in the context.
He was going on and on.
That's
I do
his
recall
quote.
That.
And then it would end at commercial.
Okay. That's your motion there?
My motion.
Is there a second to that?
A second.
All right. I have a motion from Member Bobas and a second from Member Siebert to accept the minutes. Can I have the vote, please?
Mayor Lewis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bovis?
Aye.
Member Santos?
Aye.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Any comments? Staff comments?
I do not have any.
Nobody. Just Christine. Okay. Any board announcements, comments, or reports from us? If not, I'll adjourn the meeting. Meeting's adjourned.